Praise the Lord. Man, I tell you what. Shoo! This is a good place to be. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you came to the right place at the right time tonight. Can I brag on you just for a few minutes? You know, every time anything that's alive is growing, anything that's growing is changing. Every time I come here, it's like things have just taken another step up. You know what I mean? I just brag on you. I brag on your pastors. I do go to a lot of churches. I've traveled for 22 years out of the 30-something years we've been in ministry. And I want to tell you, this church is first class. Seriously. Everything's done. And I'm not just saying, I don't say that everywhere. If I can't say something good, I just keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? So I don't say this everywhere, but I mean from the time you enter the door, I mean everything is just done with excellence. And I really appreciate that, and I know the Lord does. It's a good representation. From the facilities to the greeters to the ushers to the volunteers, of course, your pastors and the wonderful staff, they're just very efficient. Thank you. You know, it's just a wonderful representation. And thank you for coming tonight on a Friday night. I told Pastor when we rode up in the parking lot, I said, well, good Lord, your people love Jesus. They came on Friday night to church, man. Now, that's a miracle in America almost today. So praise God. Congratulations. You're to be commended. Amen. Hey, listen, and it's good to see friends and familiar faces. So many of you, we love you. And if we haven't met you, we'll be happy to. I'm not one of these guys that have to hide in the back and protect the anointing. I don't mind saying hello and mingling and giving a handshake and a hug, right? So, sorry. I usually have that mute button. You can edit all that out. We've got a little book table we brought. Anything back there will be a blessing to you, but it will also be a blessing to us because it goes into the ministry and we appreciate it. We do travel nationally and internationally. So we've got a couple of things you might be interested in. This is a new CD. It's entitled, I'm Just Saying. And we talk about the fact that as those who have been created in the image of God, our words are of a spiritual nature and origin, and they have tremendous impact in the natural realm and life in which we live. So we just talk about the fact that, you know, those words, what we say is important, as you well know here. But you might want to re-listen to that. Then this is a teaching in a CD called Empowered for Living. Now, I was raised Southern Baptist, but at 18 years old, I went to a Catholic Bible study, and I came out baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Charismatic renewal. Father O'Brien had been born again, baptized with the Spirit, you know, and he had gotten his parishioners in the same condition. And as a little Baptist boy, I went to a Bible study and came out likewise. So this is a doctrinal line upon line, precept upon precept presentation of the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a no-nonsense approach. It's very informative, very scriptural. And then I coach you at the end in receiving the experience with some nice music. Actually, it's a little bit of my CD in His presence. So if you know someone who may be interested in the experience, or you think you've received but you're just not real confident, you'd like a little more information, anything along those lines, it's back there. It'll be of great value to you. And then, of course, we've got some good music. This is In His Presence. Y'all probably use that here for your prayer time, if you do you. Then it's back there if you like that music. I love to pray with it myself. I actually recorded it. Even though I was singing in the Spirit, I didn't record the voice, just the piano. So, and by the way, your worship team's a blessing. You know, there's a lot of churches, and thank God, you know, for everyone, they have great music, but there's no presence on it. I like the presence. So, you know, thank you, praise and worship team, doing a beautiful job. So that's back there. And then we've got He'll Do It Again. Rhema Singers and Band, you know, I traveled 11 years with those guys, and Dave, you're out there. And so if y'all don't have any of those, just take what you want. And then, so He'll Do It Again. We've got one called Look What the Lord Has Done. We have a disclaimer on that one. Don't listen to while driving. Get too happy and take your hands off the wheel. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're here tonight. You know, Meetings have different flows. They have different purposes. And sometimes you're just in a meeting to teach the Word of God along a particular line, to bless people, to build them up, you know, in their faith in God in certain areas. And other times you have specific direction, you know. Not to say that you haven't ministered certain principles in certain settings in previous times, and yet you are led by the Spirit to bring a certain direction. And I felt that way about tonight, that I had a specific leading, and so we're going to... Now, what I share with you will not pertain specifically to everyone, but it certainly will pertain specifically to someone because I was led in this direction. But we can all be blessed by the Word of God, can't we? And if you don't need it tonight, and if you don't need it at this time, you just put it in your back pocket and pull it out later, because there will come a time where you need it. All right? How many of you have your Bibles? Wave them, make the devil mad. Ooh, glory to God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now I'll be reading from the King James. I'm a King James guy. We'll read verses 3 through 7. I realize, you know, I tried to change and get something more modern, but I couldn't quote Scripture anymore because it's in me so much, you know. So we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 3 through verse 7. Are you with me? Yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter begins, of course, by celebrating the fact that you and I have been born of God. We've been begotten of Him. And because we have been born of God, we've become quite naturally the children of God, the sons and the daughters of God. And because we're sons and daughters of God, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And because we are heirs, we have received an inheritance, one that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved for us in heaven. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and while we're here in the earth, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, wherein we greatly rejoice. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just put a little period there and shout a little bit and say, woohoo, born of God, heirs of God, we've received an inheritance kept by the power of God, and we can and shout and dance about it because it is a reality. Yes. But he goes on to give us insight to another reality, or an additional reality, that as long as we are living in this world, in a world that is in a state of degeneration, in a world that has the presence of Satan, sin, human will, and volition, he said, your faith will be tried. And the genuineness of our faith will be revealed. The reality is, friends, in this life, there will be opposition at times. There will be adversity. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, what did he say? He said, don't even think it's a strange thing, right? They'll put that. Don't think it's a strange thing concerning the fiery trial that you're encountering at the moment. One translation says, as though you have encountered something abnormal, you know. As men and women of faith, we've been taught the Word, we know the Word, we understand our rights and privileges, our covenant blessings in Christ. And sometimes when we face difficult situations, disappointments, and adversities, we have a tendency, the first thing we ask ourselves is, I wonder where I missed it. Well, you know, the reality is, and in most probability, you haven't. It could just be called the trials of life. They're common to the human experience. But I do want you to notice a phrase in verse 6. In verse 6 it says, though now for a season. Everybody say, for a season. Now, most often the trials, the tribulations, the adversities, the oppositions of life, whether it be just in relations, in ministry, in whatever area it may be, they tend to come in seasons. No one should be living in crises all the time. Are you with me? If you're always in a crisis, well, something's just wrong with your approach to life. Or maybe you're just a person given to drama. You know, some people are just dramatic. Man, everything's a crisis. But no one should be living in crises all the time, but there are seasons of adversity, seasons of opposition, seasons where your faith perhaps may be tried. We've read that in Luke chapter 4. Remember when Jesus was being tempted of the devil? I don't know, around 13 or something. And it said, after he had tempted him, he departed for what? For a season. You know, insinuating that he'd be back. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if we were just left alone? But it's just not reality. It's not the case. So, for a season. Once again, none of us are living in crises all the time, but these adversities, oppositions, they tend to come in seasons. Paul had seasons of opposition. Paul had seasons of adversity. He wrote about it over in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in a very familiar passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice what Paul said. He said, "We are troubled on every side." Did you ever notice most often that trouble tends to come with company? It's not just one thing, but sometimes it seems to unfold on several fronts. He said, "We're troubled on every side," but now I want you to notice his attitude. Paul's mentality and his attitude. He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed." He said, "I'm not going to allow myself to enter into the stress of the situation. I'm not going to be agitated and all stressed out just because I'm encountering some adversities and oppositions at the moment." He said, "Yeah. What did he say? Trouble on every side, yet not distressed." Notice the next one. "We are perplexed." Do you know what perplexed is by definition? Perplexed means confused. The apostle, yeah. He said, "Let me tell you something. I don't have all the answers." He said, "I don't always know why everything unfolds the way it does, why people respond and behave the way they do. Some things are, you know, a little perplexing. But just because I can't understand it all does not mean that I'm going to get into despair and adopt this sense of futility. What's it all worth, you see?" He said, "No, I'm not going to get into despair. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to, you know, lose my hope," right? "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down," what's the next word? "But not destroyed." You know, I like one translation. It says, "Struck down, but not struck out," right? I think some Christians need a butt revelation. And I'm not talking about the part you're sitting on tonight. I'm talking about the conjunction. The Bible says in Psalm 30 and verse 5, "Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning," right? Psalm 34 and verse 10, it says, the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing," right? Verse 19, Psalm 34 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." And of course, John 16 and 33, Jesus said, "Now in this world, you will have tribulation." You're going to have some opposition from the enemy. There are going to be situations. What's the next word? Come on, somebody tell me. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need a butt revelation." Woo! Listen, Paul had adversity. He had opposition. His faith was tried, but the good news is none of it stopped him. None of it overcame him, and none of it will overcome you, and none of it will overcome me if we will maintain the proper mentality in our seasons of opposition. You see, the highest form of human captivity is a wrong mentality. I said the highest form of human captivity is a wrong mentality, because if I am thinking improperly, then I'm believing improperly. And if I'm believing improperly, then I am powerless to change my situation. So it's very important in our seasons of adversity or opposition that we maintain the proper mentality, that we face these times of opposition with the predisposition of a victor. Right? The attitude that says, Christ in me, Christ with me, Christ for me, is more than enough to put me over in any situation I may encounter. I love the Apostle Paul's attitude, his spiritual and his mental predisposition. Over in Romans, you know, chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, watch Paul's attitude. He said, who shall separate me from the love of God in Christ? Right? Is that what he said? Who shall separate? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or peril or nakedness or sword? Verse 37. Nay, King James. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ. How about you? Don't you like his attitude? Now listen, I told you this doesn't pertain to everyone specifically, but you can certainly rejoice with the ones to whom it does pertain tonight, right? So some of you, you've been in a season of opposition, a season of adversity. And you say, well, Brother Marty, what do I do? Well, let me tell you what to do. And if you're not in one now, you probably will be, not prophesying, and don't mean to get you down, but it's just, you know. What do I do? I'll tell you what to do. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul told us to do. It's a very simple remedy. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. You do exactly what you've been taught right here from this pulpit and from these pastors, right? We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. You mean it's that simple? Absolutely. When you're going through a season of adversity or opposition, it is imperative that you do two things. Believe the Word of God and speak the Word of God. This is the nature of faith. Faith believes and faith speaks. Faith will always be in two places. It will be in the heart and it will be in the mouth. If it isn't in both places, it won't be working for you as proficiently as it can. So in seasons of adversity and opposition, it is very imperative to not only believe that word, but also to speak it. So instead of saying, you know, Lord, what in the world are we going to do? Why don't you just quote or declare, well, I'm going to have a rhyme, Psalm 91 and verse 2. Didn't mean to have a rhyme there. What does it say? Instead of saying, what are we going to do? Say, I will say of the Lord, what? You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. In you I will trust. That beats saying, what in the world am I going to do? Right? You're my God, my fortress, in whom I trust. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Says, the Lord is my rock. Man, that's awesome. You can get happy about that. Yes. He's my rock of impenetrable hardness, unmovable. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my strong and mighty tower. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Believe that word and speak that word. Why? Because 1 John 5:4, you know these scriptures. What does it say? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah, we qualify as an overcomer because we're born of God. But then he goes on to say, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. That means my faith is what gives substance to my victory. Right? So even in the midst of this season of adversity or opposition, it's imperative to believe and also speak the word. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, believe it.
Believe it.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, speak it.
Speak it.
Praise God. Now listen. You remember Hebrews 12:2? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Most often, the purpose of these seasons of adversity and opposition, the trying of your faith, one of the main reasons Satan will bring these things across your path, in my estimation, is to keep you, in one sense of the word, from seeing the joy that is set before you. Are you listening? To discourage you, to get you to take a detour, to stop pressing, to give up hope, to sit down. Sometimes your most difficult seasons are simply the border to your promised land. You got to pass through it. You got to press through it. Right? Keep on keeping on. Something I've learned in my own life and ministry after all these years, personally, you know, but also ministerially, is that some of our greatest seasons of blessing, victory, advance, have most often been preceded by some of our greatest seasons of adversity, opposition, resistance. And so because you learn that through experience, I've come to just realize, you know what, I'm going to count it all joy. When he brings his nonsense, I'm going to get happy. Because I know this test is going to be my testimony. This present opposition is going to be my future launching pad. And that has to be the attitude. Now, I told you, you know, sometimes God will gear a whole service just for one person. But I know the word of the Lord came to me saying, for tonight, many of you have been in seasons of opposition. You know, several years ago, man, we went through one of those seasons. And it was on every front, spiritually, naturally, emotionally, ministerially. It's as though there was an intense attack. And sometimes those seasons can be not just a couple of months, you know. Sometimes they can be a year, year and a half or so. We don't believe for it, you know. But I'm just telling you the facts. Man, I went through the most intense season of opposition and adversity. And I finally woke up in the bed one morning and I said, honey, this is not natural. This is supernatural. You know what I mean? This is the devil and all his nonsense. So I'm just seeking the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to me in that time. And this same word, God speaks to me in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the same word is for some of you tonight, and I want you to listen, because this is where you are. He said to me, and he's saying to you, you've been in a season of opposition. The enemy has attempted to discourage and detour. But be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Remain steadfast and endure, for the tide is turning. The day of victory is near. The devil is defeated. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. For the hopes that you have harbored and the dreams that you have believed, they will come into fruition. And they shall be received. So rejoice Be glad. Lift your voice. God will always get your mouth involved. Lift your voice and say, things are turning around in my favor. Excuse me. Victory is mine today. Are you listening? Now, you know what? Sometimes people coin phrases, oh, the turnaround. But it's not what is coined, it's what is unctioned, you see, that makes the difference, doesn't it? And so how many of you know what a turnaround is, scripturally? A turnaround, friends, is a change in the course of direction. That means perhaps things have been proceeding in a certain direction, perhaps unfavorable. And then all of a sudden, man, that thing turns around. And it begins going in the opposite favorable direction. That's what you call a turnaround from a scriptural perspective. We see that in Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our in captivity. They're making brick out of straw and mud. You know, things are bad. I'm sure they're not happy. They're depressed. They're slaves. They're in poverty. And then all of a sudden the Bible says God turned their captivity. That thing didn't do a 360. It did a 180. You don't want a 360. That's where you started out. A 180. And man, things changed. The Bible says in Psalm 105:37, He brought them forth with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Amen? Verse 43. He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. So what do we see? God radically altered their state or condition. I always tell people, never assume for a moment that your present state or condition has any bearing on your future potential or fulfillment, because things can change in a moment of time. Are you listening? Woo, somebody say turn around. Job. You remember the story of Job? Man, you know, theologians tell us it was about an 18-month situation, so he had a bad year. Everybody ever had a challenging year? But aren't you glad that wasn't the end of the story? Job 42 and verse 10, what does it say? Man, he'd had a rough time, but the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Man, he turned, and he doubled everything the guy lost. That's pretty awesome. You think, well, I've lost a lot. God can restore it to you. Now listen to me, I understand legally, New Testament, the blood of Christ, that our captivity has been turned in Christ. I understand that. But I'm talking to some specific individuals this evening. I want to encourage you. Stand your ground. Stay steady. All right, you've been in a little season here of adversity and opposition, and things have been a little tight or testy. Stand your ground. Are you listening? God is working. I'm telling you, by the Holy Spirit He is. And He's turning that situation around. You might be here tonight and you say, man, I feel like I've been in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe you feel like you've been in the lion's den with Daniel. That's an interesting story. Daniel. You know, Daniel chapter 6. The whole chapter there, you know, he was doing everything right. See, some people say, well, I wonder what I did wrong. No, Daniel was doing everything right. And he found himself in a very precarious and difficult situation. And don't you know, when they came to grab him and take him to the edge of that lion's den, don't you just know he knew God was going to zap those guys? But he didn't. And they kept carrying him, you know. And don't you know when he was on the edge of that den, man, he just knew. You know, I've said this many times, and I'm sure he thought it on the inside. Hey, if you plan on doing something, now would be a great time. You ever felt like that? I've said that to the Lord. Hey, if you plan on doing something, now would be a marvelous time. Woo! Just keeping it real. But guess what? They threw him in the den. And that's where a lot of people give up. I've done everything I know to do. I've spoken the word. I believe the word. And here I am in the den. Well, friends, that's not the time to throw in the towel. The story's not over. Just because you feel like you're in the den, man, hold on to your faith. Hold on to God's faithfulness, right? Because Daniel 6:23 says, in the morning, they came and they took him up out of the den, and there was no manner of hurt upon him because he believed in his God. Isn't that awesome? God can so deliver you from a situation that there is no evidence of the fact that you were ever in the situation. No evidence. No residue. Are you listening? Yeah, he was in the den, but when he came up, there was no evidence that he was in it. I like that. Sorry, guys. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're standing at the Red Sea right now. Dear Lord, man, the water's in front of you. Pharaoh's breathing down your neck. But I got some good news for you tonight. And I want you to believe it because I'm not making it up. You're going to come out of that fire. You're not going to smell like smoke. You're going to come up out of that den. There'll be no manner of hurt upon you. You're going to pass through this present sea of opposition. And that which has followed you or pursued you, we believe it'll be swallowed up by the power of God. Are you listening to me? Now let me give you that psalm again because I want you to hear it. You've been in a season of opposition. The enemy has attempted to discourage and deter. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And remain steadfast and endure. Why? Because the tide is turning. Right now, tonight, the tide is turning. The day of victory is near. The devil is defeated. Right? Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. The hopes you've harbored, the dreams you have believed, they will come into fruition. They shall be received. So rejoice. Be glad. Lift your voice and say, things are turning around in my favor. Victory's mine today. Everybody say, things are turning around in my favor. Victory's mine today. Man, if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? So here's what we're going to do tonight. Lillian B. Yeomans, she made this statement. She said, praise hastens victory. There's something about praising God that just brings His power on the scene. You know about that here. Praise hastens victory. I like that. So, you know, sometimes you can activate a word of God to you by praising Him for it in advance. That's what faith is all about. There's something about praising God. I love the story in 1 Chronicles. I want you to turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a great story. I'll get there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember the Moabites and the Ammonites and a few otherites. had come out against Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, you know. And man, look, they are outnumbered. Their defeat, by all outward appearances, seems imminent. It looks like, man, it's all over. But, you know, God has surprises for for his enemies. So Jehoshaphat starts seeking the Lord like we all should do. Verse 12. Oh God, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know what we to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a good place to keep them, isn't it? They said, look, we don't know what to do. We really, it seems like we're about to be obliterated, right? But our eyes are on you. That's a good place to keep them. Off the circumstance, off the situation, on the one who has the answer. Verse 15, of course, then the Holy Ghost comes upon Jehaziel. He begins to prophesy. And the Lord said, hearken, all ye Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. Aren't you? Isn't that comforting? The battle's not yours, it's God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by, you know, so forth and so on. Verse 17. Now notice this, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Now who ever heard of a battle you don't have to fight in? Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 19, you'll see in the last part of the verse, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Now, some people don't like it loud. God likes it loud. I don't know why, but he always tells them to praise him with a loud voice, right? So, with a teeny weeny little voice. No, a loud voice. And look in verse 21 now. Here's the battle plan. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, who ever heard of putting the choir out in front? Don't you know that morning you had a lot of choir members missing? Mr. Jehoshaphat, my throat's bothering me. Today, I think I'll rest my voice. Putting them out in front. To what? To praise God. This is the battle plan? We're going to put the singers out front and praise the Lord? Yeah. And look what happened. Verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Woo! Verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Isn't that awesome? What's the point? Praise hastens victory. We're going to activate this word that things are turning around in your favor. Whatever your situation may be, whether it's relationally, financially, spiritually, emotionally, ministerially, we're just going to declare that things are turning around. Of course, we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're going to stay faithful to the Word of God. We're going to apply wisdom in our situations. But we're going to believe the Word of the Lord tonight. Things are turning around. And we're going to praise Him in advance. You've heard this statement. I may have told you before. But I've heard it said, and I like it. It says, your celebration is a demonstration of your faith in the fact that God has heard your prayer and things are turning around. My celebration is a demonstration of my faith in the fact that God has heard my prayer and my situation is turning around. Right? Your situation's turning around. Praise God. Amen. How many of you got a situation you need to turn around? Woo! It's turning! And I'm not just a preaching. I'm prophesying. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Now you have to take this word. And you have to believe it. And embrace it. And thank God for it. When he gave me that word, I was still in the heat of it. But every single day I just started saying, thank you, Lord. Things are turning around in our favor. And we were getting hit on every front. But I said, thank you, Lord. Things are turning around in our favor. Victory is mine. I give you praise. And God is my witness. Man, we came out of that season into a glorious one. And it's been a blessing. Woo! And we're still riding it. Amen? And you are going to also. The devil's a liar. Where's my microphone I'm going to sing with? Who's got it? Is this the one, bro? All right. I'm going to turn this one on. Is it on? I'm going to turn this one off. Testing. Now, here's what we're going to do. Now, I know that's a simple word. Somebody better move this thing because I might get happy up here. Give me a little bit more volume on this. Turn me up just a little bit. There you go. Here's what we're going to do. Simple message. Don't have to draw things out. Get what God said, and then do what he said do. We're going to activate this. Now, I want you to think about the situation perhaps that needs to turn around. And then I want you to praise God tonight in advance. In a moment, I'm going to have you stand. And on the count of three, man, we're going to give a shout of praise to God. I want you to shout from the tip of your toes down there all the way to the top of your head. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable shouting. Well, everybody else is going to be doing it. Right? And listen, people already know your car's in the parking lot. Just come on, you know. You're at that church. Right? It's a good one. What I'm telling you. There's some folks in here, man, you need some things to turn around. Connect your faith tonight with heaven. Tell him you trust him. Continue to believe his word and speak his word and watch that thing turn around. So we're going to count to three in a minute. Man, let's give a shout of praise to God, right? Thanking him in advance. Then I'm going to sing you a song, right? Then we'll see where we go from there. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Now are you ready?
Yes.
We're going to give a shout on the count of three. Now listen. Well, praise you, Lord. That's not shouting. I'm already getting blessed. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Lord. It's turning around. Every situation represented in this room, we declare, we decree, in the name of Jesus, it turns around. It turns around. Turn it up. Hey, come on. Come on. Turn it up. Turn that track up. God is about to turn some things around. Bring me more track, bro.
He'll lift us up and take us up to higher ground.
We're not defeated.
We're not going
is about to turn some things around. God is about to turn some things around.
Yeah.
He's gonna lift us up and take us up to higher ground.
Hey, we're not defeated.
We're not going down. God is about to turn some things around.
Listen now.
We're not looking to the past anymore. We're girding up, we're gearing up, and we're going through a brand new door. Things are gonna get better than they've ever been before.
God, it's turning things around.
God is about to turn some things around.
He'll lift us up and take us up to higher ground.
Hey, we're not defeated.
We're not going down.
God is about to turn some things around.
Listen now.
We're seeing an increase of the spirit and the power. Mighty signs and wonders being wrought in this hour. No failure any longer.
This church is getting stronger. God is about to turn some things around.
Hey!
So don't let go of your faith. It will soon become sight. Open your mouth and confess the word. Everything's gonna be alright.
This is the time of harvest. Your turnaround is here. God is
turning around.
I believe it. Hey.
Hey, God is about to turn some things around.
What now?
He'll lift us up and take us up to higher ground.
We're not defeated, not going down. God is right now turning things around.
He's about to turn some things around.
He's about to turn some things around.
Gonna lift us up and take us up to higher ground.
We're not defeated,
not going down.
God is about to turn some things around.
He's about to turn some things.
He's about to turn some things. He's right now.
Turn some things around.
Hey! Woo! I believe it. I decree it. In the name of Jesus. Woo!
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.